EVC dispatches, AI voices, our editorial script. Quick bit of context if you're coming to this cold. There's one Dutch company that makes the machines needed to manufacture the world's most advanced chips, and nobody else makes them. Which means when that company updates its revenue forecast, it's essentially a window into what the chip-making industry has actually committed to building. ASML just raised that forecast for the second time this year, beat its quarterly numbers by a wide margin, and the semiconductor index still dropped on that same day. Flux has been pulling the tape on this. Flux, before we get into the why, set the scene on what actually printed.
Right, so the numbers first. Sales came in around 9.3 billion euros. Consensus was closer to 8.8. Net income was just under 3 billion against the 2.6 analysts had penciled. And the full-year guidance moved up to 43 to 45 billion euros, second raise this year, up from roughly 36 to 40.
That midpoint move is, what, around 6 billion euros?
About that, yeah. 6 billion on the midpoint. And Christophe Fouquet put it plainly on the call, quoting directly, "Accelerating AI-related capacity investment and increased visibility into longer-term demand." The order book, he said, was extremely strong.
Okay, so a clean beat and a raised guide. Why did the semiconductor index sell off?
That's the question. The Philadelphia Semiconductor Index, basically a basket of all the listed chip companies, the designers, the manufacturers, the fabless players who design chips but don't run their own factories, that fell on the same day ASML printed those numbers. And the instinct is to assume the market didn't believe the beat. The actual read is almost the opposite.
Hold on, the market believed it and sold off anyway.
That's the shape of it. The sell-off isn't the market saying ASML's wrong. It's the market saying the foundries write their checks to equipment suppliers up front when they're locking in capacity. Chip designers only see their money once that capacity is full of product someone actually wants to buy. Right now, the contracts for capacity are being signed way faster than the people actually consuming chips can keep up. So ASML sees the committed money. The SOX is trading the question of who earns it back.
And the 2027 delivery detail you flag in the piece, that's where the committed money argument actually sits, right?
That's the part to sit with. ASML said it's adding roughly 30% to its EUV and DUV production capacity, EUV being those extreme ultraviolet machines, the only tools on Earth that can print the sub-5 nanometer chip nodes that the most advanced AI processors need. And ASML's the only company that makes them. DUV is the older generation, still used for less cutting-edge work. Both up 30% for delivery in 2027.
And delivery in 2027 means?
Means the orders are already in. EUV machines don't have a two-week lead time, 12 to 18 months from contract to delivery. So a 30% capacity expansion for 2027 delivery means customers, TSMC, Samsung, Intel, the only three who can absorb these tools at scale, have already signed for this. It's on their balance sheets, committed CapEx, not a conversation.
Wait, so you're saying the order book isn't just strong sentiment, it's signed contracts?
That's what it is. And that's what makes ASML's print different from a hyperscaler saying, "We're planning to spend more on AI infrastructure," on an earnings call. A hyperscaler can walk that back. You can't uncontract an EUV order. Or you can, technically, but there are costs to doing it, and ASML has to agree. So when Fouquet calls the order book extremely strong on a public call, that's not a vibe. It's a reference to a legal document.
Right, I want to push on that though, because the piece acknowledges this. ASML's order book was described in pretty much the same terms back in 2022, 2023. And then it corrected, sharply.
Fair, and the piece makes that point explicitly. Foundries do overorder during capacity expansions. They defer, they cancel, they renegotiate when demand softens. It's happened before. The memory cycles, the DRAM boom busts of the 90s and 2000s, same shape. Strong order books at the top of the cycle, then a correction when the end market didn't absorb what was built.
So is the AI overlay actually structurally different, or is it just the same boom bust with better press?
Look, that's the honest version of the question. What I'd say is the ASML print is the strongest primary document evidence that the commitment is real. The order book is, near enough, a direct index of global advanced node capacity investment. That's a fact about what's been signed. Whether the demand that's supposed to fill that capacity actually shows up, the wafer demand, the chip consumption, that's the question the SOX is pricing. And nobody has a clean answer to it yet.
Okay, let me hold all of that together for a second. ASML beats the numbers, raises the guide to 43 to 45 billion euros. Order book is legally committed, not speculative. Equipment suppliers get paid now, while chip designers get paid later. And the market is basically asking who earns the return on all that committed capacity. Is that the thread?
That's it, with one addition. The China piece is the part that makes the raise even more striking.
Go on.
Fouquet said the raise came despite uncertainty over sales to China. That's the tell. ASML sells both EUV and advanced DUV tools, and the US export controls have constrained both. China was a very significant chunk of ASML's revenue in 2023, before those controls tightened. That revenue has been squeezed, genuinely squeezed, not a rounding error. And they still raised the full-year midpoint by roughly 6 billion euros.
Hang on, so they raised by 6 billion even with a real China drag, not as a neutral scenario?
Exactly. The Western AI CapEx wave isn't just replacing what was lost on China. It's doing that and then some. Which is, you know, a slightly striking sentence to say out loud.
And on the margin side, the gross margin guide you mention, 54 to 56%.
Yeah, and that's partly the High-NA story. High-NA EUV is the next generation, a higher numerical aperture lens, which is the optical measure of how fine a circuit pattern the machine can print. Angstrom scale features. And, this came out on the call, a major foundry has already taken it to production-level deployment. The unit economics are different. Fewer machines needed, higher price per machine, higher gross margin per machine. So the average selling price per unit, the ASP, is richer on the mix, not just higher on the volume.
Though you flag the customer concentration there, it's basically three buyers?
TSMC, Samsung, Intel. That's the credible set for high NA at scale. And Intel is restructuring. So if any one of those three pulls back, it hits the per-unit revenue story harder than it hits the headline volume number. That's the concentration risk. Either the three hold, or the per-unit numbers get messy. Pick one.
The piece is grounded in the earnings call transcript. You're reading the primary document directly. What does it feel like to read Fouquet's language against the backdrop you've just described?
Look, the language is notably unhedged for a CEO on a public call. Extremely strong is a superlative. These things get reviewed by lawyers. You don't put a superlative in a public earnings call if the order book is merely decent. And, you know, when I read that alongside the 2027 delivery commitment and the China absorption, the picture that comes together is the AI CapEx commitment is real, it's multi-year, and it's coming from the customers who actually build the leading-edge capacity. That's the call from the primary document. Honest read.
And the call from the SOX sell-off is something different.
Yeah. The SOX is the market trying to answer the second question. The first question, is the committed CapEx real, has an answer today. The second question, who downstream actually earns the return on all that capacity when it delivers, does not. Yet.
Flux, good place to land it. Markets editor on ASML's Q2 print, the order book read-through, and the question the sell-off is really asking. The piece is up on EVC, published July 16th. We'll be back with another dispatch tomorrow.